You turn in your pew Bible this morning to the book of Genesis chapter 5, and you can see the list here. The book of Romans, I'm going to hold up on that because we're going to read that during the message this morning. Now, this morning, this is a very controversial subject that I'm going to address with you this morning. And you know that it's at the forefront of society and at the forefront of culture today. And so what does the Bible say about that? About gender confusion. Or transgenderism would be another word that I want to bring to you this morning. And so my preaching is not intended to condemn, ever, but to release. When Jesus came, he didn't come to throw rocks. He come to speak truth, and he come to set people free from the sins of the world that we encounter, which we face. And I think it's so important today that our society, our youth especially, know what the Bible says about these areas, and this is one of those areas this morning. And I've been praying all week for this. It's been a tough sermon to write and to go after, but I hope that with God's blessing that the message will come across in love, but also in truth this morning. And so we start with the Word of God here this morning. And I'm going to read just several passages, short passages, that address this topic. And I also want you to know that I'm going to clarify that my work today does not come specifically from me. It comes from Dr. Michael Milton. He's a minister in the American Presbyterian Church and a theologian. He's done a lot of work around homosexuality and transgenderism and those types of cultural topics today. You might know Dr. Milton. He is president of the Institute of Reformed Leadership. He's also Dr. James Kennedy. You might have heard of him. He was the follow-up or replacement pastor on televised sermon broadcast, Truths That Transform. You might have seen him on TV or even on radio. And also, he's the president of Faith for Living. And so he's done a lot of work in this area. Comes with a Reformed theology background. And so some of the work that I'll share with you this morning is some of his work, too, on this topic. And so let's begin in the Word of God this morning. Genesis 5, verse 2. And of course, it says, from Adam to Noah, he created them male and female and blessed them, and he named them mankind when they were created. So we start with that base verse. Now I turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22. Page 306, if you're in your Bible. So this is just not a random verse. So God had to address a situation that was going on in the culture. And this topic we're dealing with today, it's nothing new. It's been around for thousands and thousands of years. And so here's what God addresses, because this is what's going on in the culture back in Deuteronomy. A woman must not wear men's clothing, nor a man wear women's clothing, for the Lord your God detests anyone who does this, is what he says. And so we see the issue of gender confusion already back then with pagan worship, and I'll explain more of that in my message this morning. Let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 19. And so some people would say, Rob, that's all Old Testament stuff that I just read you. You know, that's no longer relevant today. You know, where Jesus has come and he set us free from all that. And well, here's what I want to address with you is Jesus brings it back up again in the book of Matthew in the New Testament here. And so let's read chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female? And he said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Now, we see the institution of marriage there, but we also see how God created people, male and female. And that's what I want you to take away from that this morning as well in the New Testament. And so we see that. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we enter into a message this morning of truth, one that just flies very much in the face of culture today. And Lord, we know that from our hearts we are destined to share the truth, not because we hate sinners, Lord, because we want them to know the truth to be in heaven one day. And so, Lord, may we understand that. And Lord, may we approach that this morning, and may these words be your words, Lord. And I pray that I never stand in the way of that. And so, Lord, may you use me this morning. And I pray you fill me with the Holy Spirit as I bring this message to your people, to those that are here in this congregation, and to those that will be online listening as well today. May you bless them. May your presence be with them. May you open their hearts, minds, and souls to receive your word. And may you do that through your spirit as well. In Jesus I pray, amen. How many of you were familiar with the train wreck that happened last week Sunday in Sibley, Iowa? Anybody see that? Yeah, happened a Sunday afternoon. They had to evacuate a five-mile radius of that accident, and it was a disaster, and thankfully nobody was hurt. But let me share with you this morning that sexual sin can be a train wreck in your life. And I'm talking about more than just transgenderism. I'm talking about all kinds of sexual sins this morning. It will be a train wreck when you enter in those types of things into your life. And I'm just blown away today that humanity's potential of self-destruction through the lust of the flesh appears to be limitless today. You see all kinds of things going on today, and you don't have to look very far anymore. And so why there's nothing new with these sensual sins and debauchery that we witness in our culture today, I do believe that technology has undoubtedly made it very prevalent in our daily lives. You see it everywhere. It's promoted, is how I feel. And so I think it's become more culturally accepted as well because of that, because it's in the forefront of your life every day. And one such sin that I'm going to address this morning, and it's not any worse than any other sexual sin or any other sin for that matter, it's the sin of transgenderism. We seem to be a culture that's fanatical about that sin today. And it's accepted in a lot of social circles and even in some churches today as well. Now, I have no problem with people coming in to worship with us and so on, because if we start to exclude those types of sins, that means that none of us would be in church this morning, because I'm no better than them. We still are sinners before God. So make sure that you understand that this morning, that I don't come preaching this message, or we don't come and live in the world that we're better than them, because we are no different. We are all in need of God's mercy, His grace, and His love, and definitely Jesus Christ, His salvation. But I do want to address this one area with you. The subject of transgenderism, it includes kind of a wide range. So listen to these words this morning as I speak them to you. Transsexuality, cross-dressing, gender identity redevelopment, self-selecting gender, are becoming non-binary. And you might hear that word, and you might wonder, well, what does that word mean, binary? And you'll get to learn that here in just a little bit. But the idea of transgenderism is nothing new in biblical history. It has its roots in ancient pagan rituals, which would have included some aspect of transgender practices. It was already going on early in creation, the time of Noah, and after that. We've seen it in the book of Deuteronomy. And so God addresses this social issue with his people, the Israelites. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, he says it. It's on the bottom of your screen here this morning. A woman must not wear men's clothing, nor a man wear women's clothing. For the Lord your God detests anyone who does this. This is what he says. And so if we're going to be true followers of Jesus Christ, we're going to abide by those things. We're going to do those things in our life. We're going to say no to those types of things as followers of Jesus Christ. But we also need to be reminded in our day of what the Word of God says about this issue in our society. And I think that people need to hear this. Dr. Michael Milton, who I brought up to you this morning, who's done a lot of work around this area and this issue, he made a few statements I want to share with you. Social anarchists such as the French social critic Michel Foucault, and you can do some research on him if you'd like to, but he argued that Christianity, in particular, has leveraged its cultural powers to repress human sexual expression. So let me just put that in a nutshell of what he's trying to say. What he's saying is that the true church is standing in the way of the sexual revolution today. That's what he said to society, to culture, to the social issues that you and I are dealing with today in the church and within our society that we live in. A direct shot at the church. And this is also what he went on to say and to teach. Foucault taught that gender is a social construct, not a biological fact. And that's why it's such a hot issue today. We've moved it from scientific biology to a social problem in our societies today. That's what's happened. That's why it's so heated and debated and taught, and you get both sides of it. And so today we see it as a social problem in the United States. Socially, you get to decide what gender you want to be. It has nothing to do with your biological makeup or your creator. That's what the world is teaching you today. And so young people, listen closely to that. That goes directly against the teaching of the Word of God. Directly. He created the male and female. But thankfully, God addressed that issue to us in Scripture this morning, that you and I, we can find the truth, we can know the truth. Genesis 5 verse 2, let me get to that screen for you this morning. He created them male and female, and he blessed them. Notice what he said, he blessed them. And then he goes on to say this, and he named them Adam, which would have been Hebrew, which is the word, overall arching word of humankind. Male and female. There is no third our fourth category of a human being. And anything outside of that is outside of the created order of God and would be sin. That's what the Bible teaches. Male and female. And of course, nature attests to that as well, what Scripture reveals. Human beings are made in God's image and created either male or female. And all you have to do is look, right? And you get that and you understand. In most cases, sometimes that can be confusing from time to time in the day and time in the world that we live in today. And then Jesus also went on to say this in the book of Colossians 1 verse 16. He answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? This is what it's supposed to look like." And so the Scriptures not only provides creation background for what we see plainly in biology, but the texts also show us that God's creation is, or was, and is good. He blessed them. You see that right in that verse. I want to bless you for who you are as being a male or being a female in the world that you live in. And of course, we know that sin entered and things got all crazy and messy, and that's the result of what we have today. But let me share this with you. God did not make a mistake when he created you male or female. He has intentions for you just the way that he created you to be. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, he will use you in that capacity. And so when you come and I hear people say, well, you know, God made a mistake. I was made to be male instead of female, or vice versa. That goes directly against the teaching of Jesus Christ. Directly against what we see in Scripture today. Because God doesn't make mistakes. There's no accident in the way that you were created. You have a purpose on this earth, a godly purpose that God will call you to in your life. And I believe that the thought of wanting to become the opposite sex and creating this confusion in our culture and in our life today is totally the work of Satan against the church. That's where it comes from. It comes from the tempter. And he does a great job of confusing our young people today of all these crazy ideas. And it's just not young people today. You see, even older people, as well. But if you're a follower of Christ, I truly believe that with the power of the Holy Spirit, thank God it's Pentecost Sunday, as we see, that he enables us to say, no, that's not how God called me to live. You might have that desire to be live that transgender lifestyle or to cross-dress, whatever it might be, but if you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to say no to that. And that goes for all types of sin. If you have homosexual desires, you're a Christian, you're a follower, you'll say no to that. If you have the desire to steal your boss's car and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you'll say no to that. You see how that works? It doesn't matter what the sin is. If we're a follower, we're going to say no to those types of things. That's what we have to be like as followers. Say no. Gender confusion, transgenderism, is explicitly addressed in the Bible. Scripture speaks right to it. Biblical. Deuteronomy 22 verse 5. I've shared that verse with you now a few times. This fact reminds us that the phenomenon of transsexual expression, it's not new. Sexual sins, they're not new. It's been going on since creation. They practice them in the land of Canaan. The Canaanite people, they live transgender lifestyles, homosexual lifestyles, and anything in between there. It's not new. And you might wonder, well, why did God put that verse in the book of Deuteronomy? Because it was already happening back then. And he said, if you're going to be my people and if you're going to truly follow me, this is not how you're going to live. And when you and I prefer unbelief to faith in God in order to advance the lusts of our flesh, we inevitably and often irretrievably, we destine ourselves to judgment. Al shared that little example up here this morning. When we fall into those types of sexual sins and other sins that we do, they pull us away from God, right? We become distant from God. Our faith might grow cold, or we might decide to even turn our back on the Lord in those situations. And I truly believe that today what we're really dealing with in our society and in our culture today, when we talk about the sexual sins and the acceptance of everything that goes on, we are living in a rebellious nation today in the United States and in the world. Who are we rebelling against? God the Creator, His created order. People are saying, you know, I've had enough of you, God. I'm going to live how I want to. But that is a terrible place to be. Because it leads to one place that you and I do not want to be at when Jesus returns or if we're called off this earth. And you know where that is. We are born as male or female, and that our God-given human sexuality is divinely sanctioned. Grab your Bible with me this morning. I want you to turn to the passage in Romans. Romans 1, verse 18 through 32. I want to show you this. Follow along with me this morning. I've got it printed out here in my sermon, so I'm using the NIV. You might have some NRSV out there, possibly a few words will change, but you'll get the gist of this. So it's difficult to imagine a contemporary social movement that is more dangerously consistent with what I'm going to read you about the downward spiral of our spirituality that Romans 1 talks about. It talks about societies. It talks about people that enter into these types of sexual sins and what will happen, what the outcome looks like. And then as we read these words from Paul, I want you to think about this question. Ask yourself if we're not living in these times. All right? Let me begin reading. Follow along. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now, of course, men talks about humankind, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, and here's the scary part, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what they ought to be done. He let them go. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, and it's talking about spiritual death there, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Now, if you ask me, that's the end of the reading, by the way. This is where the United States has been living the last 20 years pretty hard. Right there, Romans chapter 1. And God says, this is where and how this will fall apart. This is the downward spiral. Romans 1 talks about a nation and about a society because it can't support itself. And sometimes, just like God says in here, sometimes he'll decide to, I'll let you be what you want to be then. I'll let you go. I'm sure he hates to see it. He still loves those people very greatly and deeply because he loves the sinner. But I think the key verse here is verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave him thanks. You see, the problem, once again, is I talked to you last week about the authority of Scripture and about fearing God. So we live in a nation that no longer fears God, no longer fears hell. That's the problem. They no longer abide by the authority of Scripture and what the teachings are in the book, in the Bible that we read. That's the issue. And Satan's done a great job of twisting things and molding things and try to make things fit. And so when I showed you that picture of that train wreck this morning that happened in Sibley, Iowa, I'm real about sexual sin just being a train wreck in your life. And the things that I'm talking about this morning, they all fall underneath there. Transgenderism is one of them. Homosexuality is one of them. Lesbianism is one of them. Premarital sex is one of them. Having sexual relationships outside of marriage with somebody else, it's one of them. See, I'm not picking on just one person today or one people group. It's the whole entire thing that I address. And so the truth is undeniable. I think I'm behind a slide. Here we go. God detests sexual sins because it strikes at the image of God. Who are you and I created in the image of? God. And see, when we go against that, God says, that's not how I created you. That's not how I want you to live out in the world and be a light to others. So if you find yourself in the midst of this sin, or you have friends or family that find themselves or maybe that are caught up in this sin, just know that this sin is no different than someone caught in other sexual sins that I just mentioned to you. There is hope, right? Through Jesus Christ. There's forgiveness. God can change people's lives in a great way. Jesus Christ can enter into somebody and they'll do a total 180. And that's what we got to pray for our nation, for our people, maybe for those in our family that find themselves in this sin. Now remember that this sin, it's no worse than the sin that we might find ourselves in from time to time. But the thing is that we always need to seek forgiveness. We don't continue to live in that sin. We turn from it. The Bible talks about repentance, right? You turn from it and you flee it. You run away from it. And you pursue God in your life. You and I are also called to love sinners. May we never forget that. We are never to hate. And I know that I've heard rumblings that, Rob, you preach pretty hard against these sins. You know, you must hate those people. And here's my heart for you this morning. I don't hate those people. I love those people to the point that I want them to be in heaven with me someday. That's why I was called into ministry. I don't want them to end up where they don't want to be forever, condemned. That's my heart. And so young people, I know some of you out there said, boy, Rob, you're harsh on these people, you're harsh. I want them to know how to get to heaven one day. I want them to know the truth. That's my heart. That's what I share with them. So may you do the same. And the ultimate question comes in the bottom of that purple box in the bottom of your screen this morning. Do we fear God enough to follow his teaching? That's where it rests. Are you going to truly follow God or you're not? That's the answer. And all of God's people said, amen.